5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. It is January 4th, 2022. Welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up on today's show, you could be expecting smaller tax refunds as the stimulus could be about to axe some major provisions, specifically child tax credits. We're going to talk about a whole range of things that could be cut out of any Build Back Better plan now that Joe Manchin appears to be willing to negotiate, but it could really affect your overall tax refunds. So no extra stimulus dollars perhaps coming your way. We'll talk about that.
And can you go back to work? Can you go back to school? What are the requirements for such things? It's not at all clear as we enter into 2022. Shifting rules and guidelines, we're going to discuss them.
And is America ready to go on school lockdowns? We're hearing from the Surgeon General of the United States, who let the cat out of the bag during an interview on NPR, basically saying, hey, we're going to be looking at this very closely, schools being closed. We're already seeing this in New York City, so get ready for more homeschooling in the United States of America. Are you ready to get uncomfortable? We're going to cover the stories on this show that they won't cover in the mainstream media because we don't have any billionaires telling us what to say. Morning Invest starts right now. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this January 4th. We have a daily newsletter that we publish every day. You should get it because all the cool kids read it first thing in the morning. I don't care if you're in the bathroom when you're reading it. I don't care if you're having your bowl of cereal. I don't care if you're eating eggs. I don't care if you're at the gymnasium. It doesn't really matter. But we have a daily newsletter. If you go to morninginvest.com, we work really hard on it. It takes us a number of hours to write it every day and produce it. So it covers like 5 to 10, you know, big stories of the day that you can read in about 5 to 10 minutes over your cup of coffee.
Indeed, that's true. In fact, it works really well in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring a full newsletter,
exactly.
Newspaper.
Perfect.
And also, you want to tell us how people can join our membership?
Yes, you can push join to membership if you're watching here.
No, that's not how it works. You can push join. No, you've got to go to morninginvest.com/join and you can become a channel member. And a channel member for the price of a cup of coffee once a month helps you support independent journalism, support what we're doing here on this show for the price of a cup of coffee again. And then you can be a part of our members only chat during the show. We also produce live content for members only as well. So again, that's how you can become a channel member. Morninginvest.com/join.
Indeed. We really appreciate those of you who are channel members and we love seeing your experiences in the chat.
That's right. All right. Let's start with our news headlines today because we've got a busy, busy news day to get to. So let's tell you what's going on in the news. We knew that there would be another shoe to drop in the Ghislaine Maxwell Jeffrey Epstein saga. And yes, that is how you say her name, according to her brother who published an opinion piece. It is Ghislaine Maxwell.
Why wouldn't you just use GMAX? GMAX.
GMAX?
That's what we're going to say here. So we're not wrong. It's, all right. It's like a...
It may be
a little too cool.
How about convicted? Convicted.
Yes, we could do that too.
Yet to be sentenced, GMAX. Anyway, Ghislaine Maxwell, we now have another shoe to drop in this whole saga. A bombshell new report out this morning shows that Jeffrey Epstein cut a secret deal with Prince Andrew's accuser, Virginia Giuffre. Now, we're only learning about this because the settlement was made public in a New York courtroom on Monday as part of a Giuffre's ongoing civil suit against Prince Andrew. And that's her right there in that famous photo where she is standing next to Prince Andrew. And Ghislaine is in the background like, hey, I helped arrange all of this. I'm here in my... Now, actually, I'm curious. Help me, fashionistas out there. What the hell? This does not make any sense at all, this outfit.
Oh.
Because it's like you want to be warm... Right. You want to be warm around your neck because you're freezing. But then at the same time, your arms are exposed.
Rachel wore them a lot on Friends. It was a thing in the early aughts.
Okay, so yeah. That's what that is. You can blame Friends.
I don't think you can ever think practical with fashion.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. Like Natalie was talking about heels the other day and how difficult those are to wear on a regular basis.
Yes, but yeah. They're not in fashion quite so much anymore. These young girls, they go partying in sneakers.
Yeah.
They don't know from painful.
I guess it's not like they're, you ever watch, Jurassic World, where that girl's running through the jungle with heels on?
Heels on.
Oh, the worst one is the first Transformers. Megan Fox, like, running from Transformer monsters in stilettos across the Hoover Dam. And I'm like, I'm out. I need to just go get a refund.
It wasn't the giant robots that could turn into a dinosaur or cars. That was not the part that you found fantastical.
No, it was the stilettos on the Hoover Dam. I was like, this is so offensive.
I would have been like, yep, let's go. I'm with you.
Everything else, like this robot turns into a bumblebee car, that totally believable. But the fact that she's running across the Hoover Dam in heels, I'm out. That's where I draw the line. Totally ridiculous.
You can wear some sneakers if you're going to be running.
I like Michael Douglas in Romancing the Stone. He grabs her heels and cuts them off and hands them back to her as flat.
Exactly. Great.
She's like, these were Italian. And what's his line? He's like, no, they're practical.
All right, let me go back to the story.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry, we're talking about fashion.
You went on a tangent around the mock turtleneck,
but then we got to Transformers and Megan Fox. I'll talk about Megan Fox anytime you want, just not right now. Okay, so this settlement shows that Jeffrey Epstein paid Virginia Giuffre $500,000 in 2009 in a legal settlement, in which she agreed not to sue anyone linked to Epstein that could be a, quote, potential defendant. So now Giuffre is seeking unspecified damages, alleging that the British royal sexually assaulted her when she was a teenager. Now, she claims to have been forced into sex with Prince Andrew by Epstein himself and, of course, Ghislaine Maxwell, who arranged all of this. Now, the reason this is such a big deal is because her lawsuit now faces a crucial challenge today in court, on Tuesday, today, because Prince Andrew's lawyers are going to seek to have the case dismissed on the basis that this settlement basically, hey, you can't sue Prince Andrew because she already settled with Epstein, so you can't sue him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the filing, his attorneys noted that because of Prince Andrew's status as, quote, a senior British royal, he falls into the expressly identified categories of persons who were released from liability as a third-party beneficiary under this 2009 Epstein agreement. So,
what does his seniority in the royal family have to do with anything?
Well, it doesn't, but according to the documents that because of the way that this lawsuit was laid out, although Prince Andrew is not mentioned by name, the settlement apparently covers expressly identified categories of persons, including royalty, as well as politicians, academicians. I've never heard of academic.
Academicians?
You're an academic and you don't even know how to say it. Businessmen and other allegedly associated with Epstein. So I want everyone to read this closely. This is in the lawsuit. This is in the settlement.
Okay.
So you cannot sue Epstein if you are royalty. That was in there. Literally in the settlement agreement.
That it, as a part of the dismissed parties, includes these people, right? You can't be associated. You can no longer be sued again because the settlement it covers these people. So if you were like Epstein's maid, you could still be sued. Although I guess a maid is also a business person. It's interesting. It says businessmen. So if you were his garbage man or something. I mean, I guess all of those people are businessmen. No, but I mean,
the fact that these specific titles are written into this $500,000 settlement with her.
So if he were stripped of his titles, he still could be called a business person.
I guess he'd be a business person. But politicians, academicians, and business academicians, I don't even know how you say that.
Who isn't a business and others and allegedly associated?
But this is amazing. So, all right, just to put a bow on this, we've identified now the royalty in this settlement, right? We know who the royal is.
Yes.
Let's move on to find out who the politician is. And who is the academic that Jeffrey Epstein specifically felt was important to include in this settlement agreement with Virginia Giuffre, and the businessmen and the politicians? So, great, we figured out who the royal is.
Dr. Bruce Banner.
who's the politician now? Is it Bill Clinton? Is it, I mean, who's the businessman? Is it Bill Gates? You know what I mean? Like these yeah. names are specifically written into this legal agreement.
Yes.
I just find, am I alone in finding it's this
like
fascinating?
It's like the intro song to Gilligan's Island. The businessman and his wife.
Yeah. The professor. But that these are all written into the frickin' legal settlement is pretty amazing. So again, yeah. is he now going to get off scot-free? Because we're all going to watch today, is this judge going to say, yeah, you know what, you can't sue him because this was part of your settlement agreement. And so you can't actually go after him for sexual assault.
It just feels like she's going to be the fall guy for all of this, and no information is going to get released, and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and what's interesting is that this whole episode has nothing to do with her trial, with Ghislaine's trial. Like, this is totally separate. This is Virginia right here
right.
suing him, Prince Andrew.
Yes.
So this has nothing to do with her conviction.
Tell me yes. the last time that you can remember in history where some of these elite politicians or anything ever got in trouble or went to jail for anything. And Wall Street for the 2008 debacle.
This is probably yesterday we actually had the Theranos conviction.
Yes.
Elizabeth Holmes. So four out of 11 convictions. So she could face up to 20 years in prison. There's no way she's going to get that. So we have Elizabeth Holmes and we have Ghislaine Maxwell, two prominent women. And that's about it. I can't think of any other time any of these Wall Street fat cats have got put away in jail for anything that they were responsible for, the 2008 financial crisis, et cetera. Right.
I'm going to have to think hard on that one before I just
don't think say too hard.
That, but it feels true. Anecdotal.
It's anecdotal. Yeah,
and I think the Theranos, I think for her, I don't put her in that same category as those people. You know what I mean? Because she was just she played the game temporarily and walked up that ladder, but she hasn't been established as long as a lot of these other people have.
Like a Hillary Clinton or.
Yeah. Right. You know. She's nouveau riche, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
She was not an establishment character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a little bit different, but you've got these people that are so ingrained into the power of this country that, you know, I don't think you'll ever see them go down for anything.
Yeah. Anita Thorson in the chat points out that Elizabeth Holmes' conviction, she faces up to 20 years per conviction. So they're saying that it could be up to 80 years. Recall that she's a new mom too.
Right.
She just had a baby. So it's, you know, no matter how you feel about it, it's not a happy story.
Well, let's talk about big tech. Big tech censoring. It's getting out of hand. First, it was Twitter banning Marjorie Taylor Greene over COVID misinformation. Now it's Facebook. In her post, she posted on Getter. How we're saying this new website? Getter? G-E-T-T-R? Getter? Getter done? So Marjorie Taylor Greene published over there on Getter basically saying, hey, who appointed Twitter and Facebook to be the authorities on information and misinformation? She went on to say, when big tech decides what political speech of elected members is accepted and when it's not, then they are working against our government, against the interests of our people. Hey, newsflash, Marjorie, they give billions of dollars to your opposition candidates. I mean, it went right into President Biden's campaign pockets. So are you surprised by that? We should also point out some of the hypocrisy here. She was a huge investor in Facebook. She made a lot of money, her and her husband did, off of stock that they owned in those big tech companies, Apple, Amazon, Facebook. So let's be clear about this. She's not totally averse to making money off of stocks in big tech. But President Trump yesterday released a statement and saying that Twitter is a disgrace to democracy. They shouldn't be allowed to do business in this country, he posted. Marjorie Taylor Greene has a huge constituency of honest, patriotic, hardworking people. They don't deserve what's happened to them on places like Low Life, Twitter, and Facebook, he wrote. Low Life, Twitter, and Facebook. And of course, all of this craziness around Twitter over the past few days prompted Joe Rogan over the past few days to move his tribe over to Getter. He posted this on Sunday and said, you know, hey, let's move away from these companies. Let's go over to Getter, G-E-T-T-R. Rogan made the announcement that things were getting weird on Twitter, so he encouraged his 7 million followers to come over to Getter. Sounds weird saying that, G-E-T-T-R. Anyway, now, this morning, we have more news on who wants to quit and is being censored by big tech, and that is Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul just released a new opinion piece this morning saying that he is done with big tech. He's done with YouTube. He just released a new opinion piece calling out YouTube for censoring him. And he writes, quote, in this piece specifically, and I'll pull up some of the quotes that I found interesting. He says, every year people resolve to do things that are better for their health, quitting alcohol, processed food, toxic relationships. I have come to the realization that my relationship with YouTube is dysfunctional. Sure, I can get millions of views, but why should I allow anonymous fact checkers to censor my fully sourced fact-based content? They don't want to challenge or debate me with opposing views. They just want my silence, he says. Ouch. So now he wants people to move over to Rumble, but he finished this off by saying, so today I announce that I will begin an exodus from big tech. I will no longer post videos on YouTube unless it's to criticize them or to announce that viewers can see my content over on Rumble.com. And he said, why begin with YouTube? He said, well, because they're the worst censors. And he specifically talks about how in this piece, and I won't say it here because they'll probably pull my video down, but in his opinion piece, he says he would do stories specifically on masks and other things, citing peer-reviewed scientific research out of Denmark and other countries, and they'd pull my videos down. He's like, I'm citing the sources of the studies. I'm citing the hospitals and the studies themselves, and they would pull my videos down. And he says they routinely remove his videos where he cites peer-reviewed studies, and he's like, I'm done. I'm going over to Rumble. Is Rumble any better, though?
He's a doctor, too. And, you know, and I had a journalist friend, Ben Swan, on Facebook, and he was running into the same thing. He cited all of his sources. The fact checkers had no sites to source, and he would argue with them, and his content was still taken down. And the one thing that I find, you know, funny, and somebody just asked in the chat, is like all of a sudden, anytime another platform comes along that allows you to have free speech, they don't censor. Everybody's like, oh, it's a right-wing platform. Like right-wing, like free speech has become synonymous with right-wing ideology, and that's just not the case. Free speech should go both ways,
right? Yes. I mean, and Joe Rogan specifically, he's not a righty. I mean, he's a lefty. He's a progressive. He voted for Bernie Sanders, but he's been painted by the woke establishment, Hollywood, and the woke liberal establishment as like he's some sort of a MAGA supporter or something.
Right? Maybe that was the case with Parler, or so it seemed. Right.
It
was started by Fox News pundits or funded by it, and specifically with, you know, people who had a more pro-Trump bent to it. When you joined it, it suggested all manner of those types of opinioned people before it even knew anything about you.
But even algorithm. Trump's Trump's new thing. What's it called?
I can't remember Trump's new thing, but I was just saying.
Oh, it's called Truth Social, which is like Trump back thing. So,
yeah,
you know, even in their terms of service. So, again, there's a lot of hypocrisy to go around. And I want to make sure on this show that we call out hypocrisy on either side, you know, and here, you know, on Truth Social, I like this tweet. Fun fact, the terms of service for Trump's app called Truth Social forbids users from saying disparaging things about Truth Social. So at Truth Social, you can't tell the truth about Truth Social.
Okay. I think we should acknowledge that these are absolutely hard questions. There's no absolute saying, well, you should just open a social network for everyone to say everything, right? That's not the case. You should not be able to say prurient things about or incite violence or anything like that. It's a slippery slope. And it seems like the powers that be are erring on the side of just removing everything that is only questioning. And that's very dangerous.
And what was bad is like Parler took the fall for the platform that allowed people to plan for the January 6th incident. However, most of that happened on Facebook and Twitter, not even on Parler.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So Parler was created in a way after January 6th. And then, of course, Apple pulled it from the App Store. There was all of this, you know, it's Amazon, like you literally have. Yeah, Amazon would. You had all these. I mean, they're Amazon Web Services. So you have these a few tech oligarchs controlling the narrative. And so, forget what you think about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, I find the woman fairly repugnant, right? Do we want it left up to Twitter to like tell us what we are allowed to know about in this country?
No.
And Facebook?
And I will admit that I was one of those who was a bit jubilant, like, yay, none of those voices. Let's get them out of here, right? Because it was so inflammatory. But as now a year has passed and you realize this unchecked power, it feels very uncomfortable. So you know, you have to realize, wow, that jubilation that I felt a year ago when certain voices were silenced is actually not good for anybody.
No, because guess what? It's going to come back soon. Like all of the jubilation that you saw from like the woke left, that's like, yeah, good. Get that Marjorie Taylor Greene off Twitter. Get that Trump off Twitter. What happens to suddenly when, you know, one of these woke liberals has somebody that says something that gets pulled off of Twitter and banned, you know, then well, it's all hell's going to break loose. Yeah, it's already happened. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, we really do need to be free speech purists, because if they start taking our speech, you know, the thing is, like, every one of these platforms has the ability to unfollow and block. If you don't like somebody's opinion, don't follow them. Just block them and don't pay any attention. Don't even let them in your world. But these people just want to get everybody banned that has a different opinion than them. And different opinions are how we get to the truth. You have to have both sides of a coin to get to the middle, right? You can't just... Yeah. Like have one side and live in an echo chamber, because that's very dangerous. That's authoritarian.
Well, who on the left has been banned? Which liberals are also punished?
Yes, there was. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was calling people out. He was
Grimmskull is pointing that some of them are as just as inflammatory. And I mean, I don't mean to name names, but it does feel like the left is not punished in the same way.
Yeah, no, it's a far less, but that it has happened. It depends on the degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and Katie in the chat says, David, when you're talking, can we see you? We like to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He turns his camera on in the pre-show, and then I know you've been turning it off.
Yeah, it's hard for me with this setup to switch, because I'm managing chat and then other things.
Okay,
so
all right.
For me to push a button.
Okay.
I try.
All right. We like to see you, so it's fine if you want to.
And... You can't push a button.
Okay, fine. Why don't you get back to the news?
Maybe we could have pizza push the button.
That would be nice.
Pizza, his dog push the button. Or maybe
like
Grover.
One of those little paw things.
Yeah.
Whenever I Grover, talk, we, push see, this.
Let's see, where did Grover go? He was there, and then he left his spot. That's a nice sunny spot, Grover.
Door that if pizza pushes it, it says outside.
I would just like to let you know that our kids are scheduled to go back to school next week. They're doing virtual this week. But when they go back, Grover will come back to us.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't choose us when the kids are around.
Right now, he's distracted. He's not around us right now. All right, let's get back to the news, shall we? Shall we? In other news, scientists have now discovered a new COVID variant this morning. Congratulations. We are back to another COVID variant. This new variant apparently has affected about 12 people. It's a COVID-19 specific variant. It was first discovered in a patient who returned to France from Cameroon. Cameroon, you're always ruining things for us. Researchers said it's... Why I oughta, Cameroon. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that Cameroon was in a news story, I'd only have a nickel. Researchers said it's too early to assess the variant's features. The new strain, B1640.2, if you're keeping track at home, was detected in 12 patients living in the same geographical area in southeastern France. What is southeastern France? Can you name a city in southeastern France?
Yes, Marseille.
Marseille?
No, that's west. That's southwest.
Can anyone name? So stay away, I guess. Now we got to panic.
Nice is more towards the center.
I guess stay away from southeastern France right now. Scary. No, don't be scared. Genome analysis revealed that the virus of this particular strain, though, has 46 mutations, according to the research. Scientists around the world have been on high alert for new mutations of the coronavirus because they could actually produce variants that are more contagious and vaccine resistant. Can you imagine? That's going to be the next thing. Now all these things are vaccine resistant. What's going to happen to all of these establishment politicians who are, you know, pushing the vaccine mandates and lockdowns and everything else? If you don't get this, what if these new variants become vaccine resistant? What are they going to do?
They won't admit any kind of humility. Like,
they'll have to bypass phase 2 and 3 next time to get the new ones out.
Just go to phase 1. Just phase 1. Who wants to try that one? So,
well, and I still have a question. I still want to know how in the heck, when they're doing these PCR tests or whatever, how in the heck are they finding these new variants? Like, we've not heard a thing of how these are, like, how are they being tested? How do they know that people have Omicron? How do they know that they have Delta? Like, we've seen no information on how that's being found.
Yes, that is strange to me.
Yeah,
as well, because it doesn't seem like it comes from the normal swab test. And especially if you are someone who has COVID, but it's a light case of Omicron, do they call you back or can they do existing? I'm not sure.
Also this morning, poor people right now in DC. Look at this. This is a live shot right now in Washington, DC.
Yikes.
People around Washington, DC have been stuck in their cars all night, overnight, all up and down I-95. They have not been able to get out of their cars, freezing temperatures. No one's been able to. Ice, snow, and they shut down the highways. So you can't get on to I-95, but you can't get off. So they've been shut down thanks to snow closures. I mean, look at this. An NBC reporter was stuck in there overnight and appeared on Morning Joe to talk about his harrowing experience.
Oh.
Normally, you got to listen to this. This is a reporter stuck in his car overnight. And I don't know. Listen to the way that Morning Joe interviews people. I can't stand it. But just listen to what he has to say.
Deadlock. NBC's Josh Letterman has been stuck inside of his car for about 10 hours. And the problem's not with the locks. He's in his car to where he's been stuck there, still 30 miles outside of D.C.
All right, Josh, tell us what this has been like. And what have you heard from people, I guess, in the same situation?
Okay, first of all, what is it like to be stuck in your car for 10 hours? Okay, that's a great question, Mika. And also, what have you heard from other people? I'm stuck in my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going car to car and asking questions.
I'm just trying to stay alive. You think
ma'am, excuse me. I'm from NBC. Can I ask you, what's it like to be stuck in your car for 10 hours?
Ma'am, is anybody in there? Look, I'm just trying to survive. But, you know, on the off chance that Mika.
Kids. Let's ask them. They're the average family.
On the off chance that Mika Brzezinski asks me this question tomorrow on Morning Joe, I want to know what it's like for you. Is it any different than my experience? Because I'm in a car too.
This is why you need the on-the-go potty, you guys. You need to keep that in your car.
No, this is why we don't need mainstream media. And you need an on-the-go potty.
I still have that. Even though I used it for potty training, I looked it up for you.
Mika, this has been a pretty insane and fairly dystopian experience. I was headed back to D.C. last night. GPS said I'd get back around 5:15. About 7:15 with several delays. You know, it was looking pretty bad on the roads. And by 7:30, we were just at a standstill and have been at a standstill ever since, meaning the thousands, I can see thousands of cars from where I am on the highway on I-95 have been in their cars overnight without food, without water. It's been 26 degrees outside and nobody knows how long we're going to be here or how we are going to get out. So people, once it got into about 5 hours that people were stuck in their cars, started turning their cars off because frankly, people wanted to conserve gas. They didn't know how long they'd be able to stay warm if they ran out of gasoline. I've been doing okay gas-wise, but we've talked with you know, some of the other folks who have gotten out of their cars to walk their dogs, to let their kids out of the car, who have been camped up in the cars for hours and hours, and they've said, you know, this is scary. You don't plan for a situation like this, and yet here is the situation we find ourselves in almost 24 hours after this snow is actually falling.
I mean, just think about this. This is the United States of America for a second, okay? This is I-95 in the heart of the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Now, I hate to talk about how we spend $768 billion on setting up military bases around the rest of the world and funding our military, but where the hell is the military? Where the hell is the National Guard?
What do you think they should do?
I mean, like, drop
airlift
food,
people?
Or? Helicopters, they're drop food, water, infrastructure.
They could
portable heaters. What can, I mean, cleanup? We can friggin' fly huge bombers over Afghanistan and drop supplies to people, right?
Yeah.
We can't help our own people in the United States.
I would
States.
Definitely be calling 911. Like,
well,
hey,
yeah.
Somebody
well,
needs to.
You're not the only one. I mean, look, here's a woman who called 911 five times. This woman says, look, I've been here since 5:30 last night. We haven't moved at all. We have no food, no water. We called 911 five times and we were literally told, just hang out.
Oh, bless her. Okay, in the chat room, they want to see my porta potty.
Okay.
This is what I use. I have it in my car still.
Okay, no one can see that.
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, this is what I keep in my car for this specific that's type of emergency.
I got to be honest with you, that's the least of my worries in that situation. Like, I'm just, I,
You don't want to poop your pants.
If there are other cars like right next to me and we're in a snowstorm disaster, I'm going to be like, hey, just close your eyes for a second. I'm going over here. Okay. And I'm sure everyone along that street was doing the same thing. What but you can you imagine like 26 degrees coming out there? I mean, I don't know. Just awful.
What are you going to wipe with a handful of snow?
I guess.
No, I've got baby wipes in there.
Yeah. Frozen baby wipes.
They'd be frozen, but you know.
I mean, but look at this. Just look at this foot. I mean. Look at this. This was
that's holding up. Like that's holding up a lot of maybe food and like groceries. And I saw Amazon trucks in there.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine if you were in an ambulance.
Look at that from Washington. All of those closures down the highway there. I mean, this is a live shot again. This is live. They're still stuck.
What if you were in labor when they told you just to hang out? Like, no.
Yeah. What do you do if you're in labor?
You'd need you'd need an airlift or something. Yeah.
I mean, this is outside of our nation's capital. It's absolutely
next
ridiculous.
Thing you know, you're going to hear that they're like, we're going to start assisting people, but we need to know that you're vaccinated.
Yeah. I mean, hey, this is a good point because look, here's a tweet. Probably could have used those plow truck drivers they fired for not being vaccinated. Maybe. What do you think about that? Like, they can't figure this out? And it doesn't even look like that much snow for crying out loud. They can handle this up in Montana and Alaska, but they can't handle it here, I guess.
I mean, we're talking the East Coast. I mean, come on.
Yeah, this is the East Coast. This is the nation's capital, and they can't handle this. And this is live. I mean, this is live again.
Let me get this straight. They can't handle snow. They can't keep Trump supporters out of the Capitol. Like, what is wrong with Washington?
I don't know.
There's your Amazon trucks. Yep. It looks like they're getting a police escort.
That looks
like let's get that Amazon. Let's get that Amazon.
That looks like a livestock.
Yeah. I mean, there's UPS, Amazon.
John Dutton gets through. Like
John Dutton gets through. Oh, that's a look at your news headlines this morning. We're going to dive deeper into other stories on the show. But first, you can tell us about our show sponsor today.
Indeed. I would like to tell you about ShipStation. This is how you ship things if the roads are clear. Right. All right. So you started your own online store. You do what you love. But this year, you want to make shipping a whole lot easier for you. This is your New Year's resolution, right? Is selling things online, but not making it a hassle for you, because that's the hard part, shipping those products out. Well, luckily, ShipStation makes it easy. With ShipStation, it's easy to import, manage, and ship your orders out fast for a lot less money. It's no wonder ShipStation is the number one shipping software for e-commerce, sellers with 5-star reviews, and anyone else. You can import your order from any sales channel. You can ship with any carrier using discounted rates that usually is reserved for just the big guys, and automate just about any shipping task. You spend a lot less time on your shipping and a lot more time than on growing your business, because you know, if you're spending your time marching boxes that you pack yourself to the post office and then filling out those nightmare forms, you're not growing your business. You're just doing tedious things instead of actually using your own creativity to get your products in the hands of your consumers. So ship more in less time. You can use our offer code INVEST to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months of free, no hassle, no stress shipping, and you won't go back to doing it yourself once you're using this beautifully automated method. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in INVEST. That's ShipStation.com, offer code INVEST to make ship happen.
All right, let's talk about your stimulus now and what we can expect as Congress digs itself out of this snowstorm. It was kind of a sleepy day yesterday in Washington, D.C., except unless you were stuck in traffic on I-95. But Joe Manchin says that he is willing and ready to negotiate on Build Back Better, kind of maybe go back to the drawing board. But he has some conditions. Specifically, child tax credits. So these $3,600 child tax credits that President Biden and Team Biden wanted to include in the Build Back Better plan for families, it was a big pillar of President Biden's plan. Apparently, Joe Manchin says, look, I'll negotiate as long as some of those things are removed from our discussions. That child tax credit specifically, and also certain climate provisions. We don't know exactly what those are yet, but according to reports from Bloomberg this morning and Axios, separate reporting, Joe Manchin is ready to come back to the table, get some legislation done, but a lot of these key provisions need to be removed from the Build Back Better plan in order for him to move forward. And this is going to mean for a lot of people less on their tax refunds. Like you're going to have a much smaller tax refund this year as a result of this.
Exactly right. Because the amount that you did get in childhood, specifically child tax credits or child tax payments, right, will be counted against what you could claim as a tax credit for your child. So when you go to file your 2020 taxes, what you normally claim as a credit, which means you could get a refund, you will already have received, right? So you could owe on your taxes. This is why tax planning is so important before the calendar year ends. But how many people can't afford to do that, right? And so they're going to get people who normally get a refund will now have to pay. And that will be a rude awakening.
I mean, it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people to think that, holy smokes, the refund that I sort of depend on is going to be cut in half or almost eliminated.
Because it's been bled to me during a time of high inflation, right? So right. It's like, fine, that's nice. I received whatever, $500, however much you got based on your tax, however many children you have in your tax bracket. So you were receiving it all along. So you won't get it as a refund in April when you're maybe used to it. So, okay, that makes sense, except that you were receiving smaller amounts because of the consumer price index, right? Because items were becoming inflated. You could buy less with that smaller amount of money, and now you'll owe in April, right? So if you are in this bucket, you weren't really helped very much at all.
Right. And then we're sitting at a time too. We look at gas prices this morning up 35%. OPEC this morning about to maybe announce that they're going to release additional supply. So these numbers will go down. So these families are absolutely crunched right now because of inflation. And, you may even have to return. So this is the thing I want to talk about, is you may have to actually return part of the advanced tax credit if your 2021 adjusted gross income actually exceeds certain limits. So instead of getting a refund, you could be sending money back to the government now because Washington can't get its crap together.
Yeah, we will remind you that in Build Back Better, media companies can claim a tax credit based on salaries of media employees. So they would actually do quite well on their taxes. So big business would be just fine, right? But these credits for small families, for low income families, like, oh, we can't have that. However, we can offer a lot of incentives to big business. It doesn't make sense. What are we stand for then? What is in this bill that we care about? What's left?
And what left to help like working families and people that aren't making enough money? I mean, if we want to talk about the student loan portion of this, mm-hmm. let's talk about that piece of this, because back in March of 2020, of course, the Department of Education gave a lot of Americans the opportunity to pause their monthly student loans. And we joked about that here on the show. It was helpful for a while, but it really was just kicking the can down the street, right? Because nearly 90% of borrowers have accepted that. They were like, okay, I'm going to actually do that. And it gave them some relief through 2021. But now there's a trade-off, because come tax time, you don't get a write-off for student loan interest. So it's still accruing
at that time. Yeah.
Right. But it's still accruing interest, but you don't get to write it off.
Yes.
Think about that for a second. You can't write that off. So you can deduct about $2,500 worth of student loan interest, depending on how much you paid. It's an above the line tax break. But again, you're not going to be able to write that off because the student loan forgiveness plan is not moving forward. And the extension of the payments is drying up here in the next few weeks.
Well, they said that it will be another at least month or two before those payments begin again. If you made those payments, sure, you could deduct them.
90% of people
did.
But
you're kicking this can down the road. You will, in theory, be able to write off the interest that you pay from here on out if you begin them, right? If you can afford it.
Yeah.
It's not written as a plan that's really meant to help any working families at all. It's,
Student loan interest is paused. I guess it depends on your
student loans will be paused for the next few months. That was just a few weeks ago.
But the interest itself. So if it's paused, you don't have to make the payment, the interest.
Which means you have no interest payments, right? You're not making them.
You're not making any interest payments.
Yes, exactly. You don't have to.
Right.
But when you start, you will then have some interest to write off.
Brant's Twilight in our chat, sorry, David, said, I have $165,000 in federal loans. Can't afford them with two jobs. Two jobs, $165,000 in federal loans in the United States. Only in America. Like, the fact that we have all of these people drowning in debt, making all of these colleges, these for-profit colleges, wealthy beyond belief, you know, huge record profits for these for-profit colleges, and you're going to be drowning in debt for the next 30 years of your life.
I mean, it's really only in the U.S., you guys, that this happens, that people start law careers or medical careers with six-figure loans. In other countries, the government supports that education, and so people actually start their career as a doctor without debt, or a lawyer, or an engineer, or whatever they want. Well, that is a uniquely American thing. And the administration had the opportunity to address it in specifically Build Back Better and chose not to.
Yeah.
Well, and we forget too that, like, in during the CARES Act, $5 trillion was transferred to a bunch of like 800 businesses, right? If they would have thought the right way, if they would have taken that $5 trillion and given that to the people, college loans would have been paid. People would have been buying food. People would have been spending money in the economy. It would have stimulated the economy and the people. But instead, they give it to the businesses and cut out the people who need it most. So it's like all like these colleges and stuff should have been all for a UBI. The businesses should have been all for a UBI. But the reason they're not is because they got $5 trillion. If they wouldn't have got that, they would have been more supportive of something like that.
Perhaps. And you know, UBI, we can sort of set that aside as one type of help. But the government could have done all kinds of things to favor small businesses that it did not do. It could have offered them tax breaks instead of big media. Agreed. It could have, you know, there's a million things that could have actually worked and put money in the pockets of small business owners or working families in terms of, hey, how about you don't pay your taxes this year? How about you only pay on profits that are realized? How about all kinds of things. There was no logic to this.
Grimskull in our chat says, no degree should cost more than what it would take to pay it off within 10 years on the standard salary of that job field. I would say zero. I mean,
even 10 years is a lot. It's just not done.
Think what happens in 10 years. Like, let's say you graduate, and in 10 years, what would, you know, starting a family, maybe investing in yourself and your future, like buying a home, making some investments so you can improve the quality of your life, you know? And then instead, you, for 10 years, you're working to pay off this ridiculous loan.
Yes.
Well, and that's why these Norse countries, like, their quality of life is so much higher because they don't have the stress of all this debt over their heads. Like, these kids get out of school and they got that debt over their heads. Sometimes, I mean, my ex-wife, it's been for like 15 years or more that she has a PhD, like $100,000 worth of college debt still over her head.
Jeez. That's awful. That's awful.
I will take this opportunity to remind you that we have Financial Freedom Academy to help you with those debt products and your investment products to just think a little bit better as a family. If that is your New Year's resolution, I do still recommend Financial Freedom Academy. It's Clayton and I helping to empower you to take what you've got in your house and do better with it, because the government doesn't seem like they want to help you at all. It's got to be you.
Yeah, if you go to financialfreedomacademy.com, you can check it out if something you might be interested in. It's like a 10-module course. We give you some bonuses plus a free book.
Is that the Grab Your Freedom cheat sheet?
No,
this is a full course.
If you go to financialfreedomacademy.com, you can read through it. If it sounds like something for you, great. If not, you know, you can ignore it. But, you know, we have everything laid out at financialfreedomacademy.com, how to build wealth and navigate this system. Because I'm telling you, the government is not going to take care of you. The United States government is not going to be there for you. You need to build your own path. And that's one of the things that we do here. And this guy building his own path right now. I mean, people still stuck on these highways. They're turning around, trying to get off these off ramps right now, trying to get off of I-95, stuck in all this snow, going backwards down highway. This is an absolute disaster. Look at this. Like, they're turning around, going the wrong way just to get out of there. Oh, man. This is United States fear for you. All right. We've got more news to get to. Why don't we tell people about this? So, there's a movement growing right now across the world, and it's coming to the United States. A number of businesses are already doing this, which is, if you don't have a vaccine, you might not get a job, or you'll be asked to leave your job. And the country of Italy is specifically looking at doing this right now, which is going into a completely banning unvaccinated individuals from workplaces.
Yes. You know, this has actually been more of a trend in Eastern countries. And, you know, that's just sort of the way it is. But as it spreads into the West, where we think that you have options and freedom, it seems like that is less the case. So in Italy, you would not be able to actually go to your job and do that without vaccination, right? Italy was ground zero for the original COVID pandemic, and but had a low vaccine adoption rate. And now they're saying, hey, you better get that vaccine or don't come to work.
Starbucks also saying U.S. workers must get the COVID vaccine or you have to do on like regular tests. At Starbucks.
Again, I want to make the point that regular testing is only a form of punishment for not getting the vaccine because we are seeing over and over again that vaccinated people do get COVID and do spread COVID. So if we're really trying to prevent people who are infected from spreading it, then we need to test the vaccinated, right? Regular testing is only a way to punish the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
It does not prevent anything.
Who's that expense fall on to? Does the employee pay for it?
Yes, it's, yes. I think it's different in the Los Angeles County now. They're saying that unvaccinated employees need to pay for their own tests every
Which
other
I've heard
paycheck.
Some people say it's like $90.
It can be, yes, and so it's It's interesting. I'm fine with them saying we need to test people so that it doesn't spread, but we need to test the vaccinated too. You can get it and spread it still.
If they're going to do that, because
right, it should not be used as punishment. No. Also, it feels very cruel form of punishment because the COVID test hurts.
Yeah, and again, we've known the accuracy of these tests as well, right? And if we are looking at these tests and saying, well, this is just the common cold. I mean, how are you able to differentiate right now between Omicron, which has all the hallmarks of a common cold, and COVID-19 that emerged out of Wuhan in 2019?
Right.
You know, the novel coronavirus, which in many cases might be different right now.
Now there's that question, how many people have been sent home because they have the E299 version?
Right, which is the common cold, which we talked about on yesterday's show. I encourage all of you to go back and watch yesterday's show. We spent about 15 minutes really diving deep into how the CDC looks like they're starting to use the common cold as
a positive COVID case,
right,
and therefore follow the protocol for isolating people with a common cold.
Right.
We refer you, yes, to yesterday's. You know, some people in European countries where you need the green pass to say you need a QR code saying that you're vaccinated or a QR code saying that you have had a recent test. And some people are saying, I won't get that vaccine, so I will then do repeated tests and get a new QR code every few days. It's possible to do that, right?
Yeah.
But it's very uncomfortable and it's time consuming and it can be expensive. And so now certain companies are saying, no, that's not good enough. We just need that permanent vaccine QR code.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Starbucks approximately has 220,000 employees. Starting on January 10th, they all must disclose their vaccination status. They have to let the chief operating officer of the Starbucks know what their vaccination status is.
So long, HIPAA.
Well, of course, Marjorie Taylor Greene got that wrong, right? Because she was like, that's a HIPAA violation. So it's not actually technically a HIPAA violation if you're like, you're not disclosing that information from a doctor, right?
I'd have to review the HIPAA. I don't think that specifically is a HIPAA violation.
Like if you're asking.
I thought all medical, like your personal medical information, I thought all fell under that, but.
But I guess you can't it's up to you to disclose it, right? So it's up to you, I guess, according to Starbucks.
A doctor cannot disclose it, but you can disclose it to your employee, and that is not a HIPAA violation.
I forced you.
I think that I'd like to review my notes on that before I say anything.
But I mean, Italy, considering this complete ban from workplaces. And now this story blew me away because this kind of falls under this whole bucket. Right now they're doing the Dreamforce thing. You know, Salesforce has their annual meeting where like thousands of people come and it's a whole big to do. And they get together, they do singing and dancing and they review different things that Salesforce is doing. Well, now
singing and dancing.
Salesforce has rolled out this thing at this conference and they're probably going to, I was waiting for this to happen. I was waiting for there to be wristbands. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for there to be like identifiable vaccine wristbands that companies are going to start asking people to wear, or that it's going to be in vogue. Like, it's going to be so woke for me to have a certain colored wristband. Oh, like the Livestrong
bracelet.
Yeah, like I survived cancer. Instead, it's like I'm vaccinated, right? And that's exactly what's happening at this Dreamforce conference from Salesforce, that you can wear different wristbands or pins if you are okay with hugging. Okay, if you're okay with hugging, you can basically wear a certain wristband where it'll let the other person know as you're approaching them that, hey, I'm okay for a hug. And then, or you can wear another wristband that lets people know that I'm okay for a fist bump, or to keep your distance. Like, that's another one you can wear. Like, stay away from me. I just don't want to be around other people. Here's a tip. If you don't want to be around other people, don't go to a conference.
Yes.
With thousands of other people. Like, just stay home. Like, what are you doing at a conference where you have to meet?
But it's not based on vaccination. It's just based on your own personal preference of interaction with strangers.
This one specifically, okay. So according to the New York Times, it looked at Team Hug.
I mean, I never want to be spoken to. So can I wear it around the house for my children?
Like, look. Don't bother me for something right now.
This is a mommy doesn't want to be spoken to wristband. Look, mine's rainbow, which means no to everything.
Yeah, don't talk to me right now. I've got my don't bother daddy. He's working wristband on right now.
Also, you know what else works for this, guys? Is a paper bag on your head.
Right. So 1,000 attendees.
I found some information.
About
HIPAA? Yes, please.
So it says, does the HIPAA privacy rule prohibit an employer from requiring a workforce member to disclose whether they have received a COVID-19 vaccine to the employer, clients, or other parties? No, the privacy rule does not apply to employment records, including employment records held by covered entities or business associates. In their capacity as employers, generally the privacy rules do not regulate what information can be requested from employees as part of the terms and conditions of employment that an employer may impose on its workforce. However, other federal or state laws do address terms and conditions of employment. For example, federal anti-discrimination laws do not prevent an employer from choosing to require that all employees physically entering the workplace be vaccinated against COVID-19 and provide documentation or other confirmation that they have met this requirement, subject to reasonable accommodation provisions and other equal employment opportunity considerations. Documentations or other confirmation of vaccine, however, must be kept confidential and stored separately from the employer's personal files under Title I of the American Disabilities Act.
Okay, so you can be asked to disclose that to your employer, but that must be kept confidential from other employees.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, like, let's say they do ask you and you're not, and then you get fired. That's kind of like a public, like, their people are going to know, right?
I suppose, or they are going to have to find a way to disclose to other vaccinated people because they think they're protected. It's so tricky. They're protecting them. Yeah, it is tricky. Okay, but the employer asking for that record is not a HIPAA violation in and of itself, which, okay.
So Salesforce, 1,000 attendees of San Francisco's conference, known as Dreamforce, were greeted. They could have three options. They could wear green, which is okay to hug me. Yellow, let's do the elbow fist bump. Or red, let's wave hello.
Okay.
Like, that's what they can do. But separately in this piece, it talks about,
what if you're European and you want to kiss someone on the cheek? What color do you
I guess that would be in the hugging camp.
Okay.
I guess. So
we could
again,
ask Cuomo how that works.
Exactly.
By the way, you guys, Europeans are full on back kissing. They're just doing it.
Good for them. Like, I'm happy about that.
I'm not so happy about that. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that.
So a lot of these employers, as the New York Times points out in this piece, they're trying to figure out how to preserve personal space. And there are companies that are taking advantage of this right now. And I thought that this was fascinating. There's a company called Wristband Resources out of Wisconsin. I think they're out of Wisconsin. And they are looking to, they're reopening their construction sites, and they wanted an easier way to signify employees who had completed their temperature screenings for the day.
Okay.
So they decided, you know what we're going to do? Is we're going to have multicolored set of wristbands. Like if you have completed your temperature screening for the day, you will wear a certain wristband that shows that you are in compliant. And they will have a certain wristband that lets them stand out. So you know that that person has both either has passed their test for the day or by separately is vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this person is vaccinated and you have this new wristband that you can walk around and everyone can see that you're in compliance.
Well, with, look what Shauna's saying in the chat. She says our company gave the vaccinated stickers to wear on their ID badge. I mean,
doesn't that sound like
the Star of David? Like it just there's so many parallels that I keep seeing with.
Yeah, put this on your wrist or put this on your let me know that you're Jewish or let
because
me know.
It's also nonsensical. You guys, vaccinated people can get it and spread it. And people who have tested regularly can also have it, have contracted it on the way from the negative test.
Right.
And it like you could have it and not have a fever. So none of this stuff, it's all theater.
It is all theater. Like Cisco, for example, it made its return to the office optional. And it equipped its conference rooms with technology that notifies people when they've exceeded the maximum occupancy limit. The device also informs workers about where the air quality is in the right space and if they should move to a different room because air quality not so good in this particular room. Maybe that, forget about COVID, that should just be, man, that's great. I mean, that's actually smart business practice to begin with. Like we have best air quality here, so you're not breathing asbestos or whatever. I don't know.
Sure.
But here, these pins, if you guys want to get this, it's okay to hug. Let's wave hello with a fun little bear. And let's do the elbow fist bump thing. Which one would you guys wear?
I'd wear the okay to hug.
I'd wear the okay to ass grab. You can feel free. Maybe you could. That's a new way to
is
date.
Is that different from kick me?
It's like a new way to date. You could just be like, "Hey, I'm going on this date. I'm okay. You just grab my ass. That's fine."
How come it doesn't say "Okay to hug with permission"?
Okay to hug with. Yeah.
Well, I think that is the permission expressly stated.
I mean, the other person you're going to hug. Do they have to comply, or can you just walk up and hug people?
I don't know. I find it ridiculous that these workers. I mean. You can get these colorful wristbands. Like this one company says, you know, if Clyde and Co. Manchester's office, they wore a green wristband to let them know that they're vaccinated. Like I have a green wristband on. That's to let you know that I'm vaccinated. You're just going to walk around now seeing like all sorts of people wearing this stuff. It's ridiculous.
I wish they would have done that for like, you know, what was the big festival Woodstock? People should have had buttons that said, okay for free love. Okay to,
I suppose.
Okay to kiss me.
So I had $1 million idea about wristbands. Should I just share it? Because I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
Is that I wanted to wear, like, I wanted to create nursing wristbands that helped you remember which side you had just nursed on, because that's hard to do when you've just had a baby. You forget which one and you need to be producing in both sides. And I thought it could be like Live Strong bracelet, you know, because you're promoting nursing in public. Because you have, it's like it's a fashion statement, but also a pro nurse in public statement. And it's also very practical. But I couldn't find a way to produce these without getting them made in China, which I didn't want to do. So I never did it. But if you like to make those friendship bracelets yourself and you could figure out a way to do this nicely, take that. Make $1 million.
The good news is a lot of these wristbands are made in Wuhan. So they come, right. They come with COVID already built in.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that would be a lovely idea. It's like
the
nursing, the boob marker wristband.
Yeah.
But I could never figure out how to manufacture it.
So let me know in the chat, would you guys be open to wearing a wristband to identify whether or not you're vaccinated?
Or identifying which boob you nursed on.
Yeah, let us know in the chat if you think that makes any sense. Or if this is just crazy wokeness. Somebody asked in the chat, I keep hearing about woke. What does woke mean? First of all, I would highly encourage you to read a book called Woke Incorporated by a former biotech CEO. Just talks about the ridiculousness by which all of these big Silicon Valley companies now are going woke. Woke just simply means waking up. That's all it means. Like, when you wake up to something.
You guys better not be saying all those no's to my boob wristband idea.
No, they're
that better
not.
Just be to the okay, because no. That hurts my feelings.
No, they are definitely pro boob. I know our audience.
Yeah,
but it's pro boob. Like, all it is doing is virtual signaling now for people to say, like, people are just like, I'm vaccinated, like they're doing their part, but they've really done nothing because now all of the places that are, you know, having the biggest outbreaks are all in vaccinated areas. And it's like, so what does it actually mean at this point? It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And people need to stop virtual signaling and think that the vaccine are less of a human, because it is just not true. And it keeps being proven over and over and over again.
All right, why don't you tell us about our show sponsor and then we'll move on.
Okay, I will do that.
I will absolutely do that.
I want to tell you about Spotify.
Spotify.
Yeah, what are we listening to?
I want to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends over at Shopify. That's what I want to do. Shopify is fantastic to make, you know, an opportunity for you reality. Like, if you want to start your own business for the first time, Shopify is an amazing way for you to start ringing that cash register. And anytime you get a sale with Shopify, what's really cool is you can set that cha-ching sound. So you can set the app, you know, your Shopify app. So anytime a sale comes in, cha-ching. Now is the perfect time, right, to think about, you know, leaving your job, or maybe you've left your job and you want to start thinking about providing for your family separate from this crazy environment that we have in the United States right now, and actually start investing in yourself. You can do that with Shopify and build an online store. Shopify is a platform designed for anyone to sell anything anywhere, giving entrepreneurs like myself the resources once reserved for big businesses, customized for your needs with a great looking online store that brings your ideas to life. The tools to manage your day-to-day and drive sales, making your idea real, opens up endless possibilities. It's a journey, but that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. You know, when you start out, you've got to learn the ropes, right? But Shopify makes it easy. So you don't have to worry about all the coding of a website, the back end, all of it. You can be set up in literally minutes with a beautiful storefront for you to be able to sell what you want. It's amazing because when you start, I've started Shopify websites and it takes just a few minutes to be up and running. And then you can go in and tweak it and make it better and do different things and add some different custom things. But you can be up and running in minutes. If you have an idea, maybe you want to sell shirts, maybe you want to sell zip ups, maybe you have a product of your own that you want to sell, or you want to, you know, you want to sell things online, like drop shipping. It doesn't really matter. You can use Shopify to do that. Shopify powers over millions of entrepreneurs just like me, from the first sale to full scale. And every 28 seconds, a small business owner makes their first sale on Shopify. They have 24/7 support, so you're never alone. They have a whole knowledge center too to help you succeed. So it's like almost like online classes at Shopify to teach you how to set this up. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you as you grow. So here's what I want you to do to check this out. Go to shopify.com/morninginvest, all lowercase. It's very important. No uppercase at all. It has to be all lowercase, okay? For a free 14-day trial, and you get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Start selling on Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/morninginvest right now. That's shopify.com/morninginvest. It's the platform that commerce is built on. More than a million of the world's most successful brands trust Shopify to sell, ship, and process payments anywhere. Visit Shopify.com/morninginvest today to take advantage of that 14-day free trial. Our thanks to them.
All right. Let's talk about school lockdowns and whether or not they should occur. Now, many school districts are still wondering if they should come back from the winter break. Some of them decided to take a week of virtual school just after the holidays to make sure that anything that was contracted during travel can be isolated during home working. And now the Surgeon General is saying that the goal is for U.S. schools to stay open, but some schools will have to make different decisions based on the vaccination rate and the variant transmissal rate in those areas. All I care about is that my kids are in fact going back next week. They're doing virtual school this week, and in our area, it has been declared that they will reopen. Thank God. because I can't take too much virtual school.
I mean, we've just done such a disservice to these children by having these lockdowns. And so, I mean,
yes,
I've seen data now. We've talked about it here on the show, just how we're basically setting an entire generation back a year.
Yes.
In learning. Yes. Think about that. A whole year setting them back now. And why is that? I mean, specifically, it's the interaction with other students. It's the, we don't learn well. You can learn okay, but you just need that interaction. You need that one-on-one discussion with a teacher. Some kids just, I mean, they're just sitting there in front of a computer screen for hours a day.
It's just a stunted experience of learning in general. And I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when my son had his first in-person orchestra concert in December, and there was, the choir came out and sang, and they were singing in masks, but the administrators said they haven't had an in-person event being able to perform what they are practicing, their craft, in 2 years, and they're nervous. And I'm going to cry about it again, because how much do we as adults have to take responsibility for, you know, these decisions that have cost these children, proms, graduations, performances, the ability to learn hands-on with another person, the ability to make eye contact with another person in order to understand, do you get it? Is it fine? I watched just this week my kindergartner, like, doing these math worksheets. And there has to be someone there to say, do you understand that? What do you need help with? Right. There's so much of it that it has cost them for our inability to come to a consensus about what's right for the world. And I'm really emotional about it, obviously. Yeah,
and the thing that gets me is, like, you look at somewhere like Sweden, and I'm reading a little blurb here. Despite Sweden having kept schools and preschools open, they found a low incident of severe COVID among school children and children of preschool age during the SARS-CoV-2 pandemic. Among the 1.95 million children who were 1 to 16 years of age, 15 children had COVID or miscellaneous or both conditions and were admitted to an ICU, which is equal to one child in 130,000. But in the United States, or by doing the vaccine, there's a lot of data now showing that one in about 2,000 or to 2,700 kids are ended up with myocarditis from the vaccines and ending up in the hospital. 80% of them end up in the hospital from that. So, like, the risk of that is way greater than the risk of just letting them live their lives.
And sort of moving the goalpost of who has to stay home and for how long. For instance, JJ Films in our chat when we started the show said that he has two positive cases in his house. I assume it's a he. It may not be. And two non-positive cases. And so his daughter has to stay home until the 23rd of this month or something crazy like that because she's testing negative. My sister-in-law had a very similar story where her children were home from Thanksgiving until Christmas break because there was one who continued to test negative. And I get it. We want to protect the other kids, but you are costing one kid inordinately in this experience, not to mention my niece who had to stay home, who's 8, who couldn't do Christmas concerts and all kinds of winter activities and all the fun things that she missed out on. It's not nothing, right? We have to have empathy for what it costs them too.
But I don't want to be lost. I don't want to get, you know, lost here in this. This is the Surgeon General of the United States on NPR News saying that we may need to be closing schools. And New York City already doing this. Right. New York City already closing schools and moving towards.
Nobody's asking, where's the data? Where's the science that says that we need to do this? Where is it?
And, you know, my heart goes out for the administrators, because it's awful to make decisions in a vacuum like this and then have parents who are coming to you with just like absolute outrage.
Right. Parents are like,
and they have worked so hard to make decisions based on, like, where do the kids eat? Can they play? Can they do this activity? It's like you were once a principal and there was just this sort of assumption that kids played dodgeball or whatever. And now you have to think about every single stinking thing that kids do and say, is this allowed? Is this allowed? Is this allowed? Right?
Well, like yesterday we talked about on the show, ridiculousness on the band, you know, students like studying band or playing a woodwind instrument. They're not allowed to play them anymore, trumpets or anything that blows air. So they have to pantomime and pretend that they're playing the saxophone. They have to remove They have to remove the mouthpieces and play it as if they're blowing, but they're not actually blowing through it. Ridiculous. I mean, come on. So now we're going to be closing schools again.
This is the thing that really upsets me is like, for instance, last year where we live in Portugal, all travel, you know, there was basically rules, but not during the holiday. So do whatever you want, and then we'll see what happens. And I feel like as adults, if we really agree that the holidays are for children, then we should make decisions based on what will benefit the children. And I don't think that we are doing that. And so, you know, we can lift rules, we can, you know, but is that best for the children? Or is it just like we know people are not going to follow the rules, so we'll see, right? Like we should be making decisions not based on us, but based on them.
Yeah, and if you're going to make these rules, give people information on why you're making these rules. Show us data that shows why this is. Like, I could get behind these rules if they made sense and they showed data backing it up, but they don't.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's hard for me to decide, like, which population we are preferentially treating at this point. Are we giving preference to elderly people or to workers? And then we're just like, whatever, kids will just be resilient.
Yeah, because like, I see in the chat, like, right, people are talking about, like, yes, kids are not going to get COVID. And if they do, they're going to be fine, right? It's fine. They're not going to, you know, and a lot of them seems like they're being more hurt by the vaccine than they are actually COVID.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
But let me finish my thought, which is, so who are we then protecting? So when you close the school down, is it the administrators? Is it the teachers? Okay. Well, okay. So then say that, because it's not about the kids. And now they're saying, well, we need to get the kids vaccinated. We got to get all these kids vaccinated. And that's exactly what the Surgeon General said in this interview. He's like, look, you know, I got two kids. I understand it. I understand how difficult it is. I've got two kids and like one of them is too young to get vaccinated. So that's why we would want to keep that particular child home. I get it. Well, wait a second. So we're talking about you can still spread the disease. You can still spread the virus when you have the vaccine. So it doesn't matter if these kids are vaccinated. They're going to still spread it anyway. You're going to get it. You're going to get this vaccine. You're going to get sick from this thing.
Perhaps. Okay. Now I'm going to share my anecdote that I was holding.
Oh, your anecdote. It's anecdote time.
From the beginning of the... Okay. So I have a good friend who's been sober for 2 years and also recently gave up sugar. On New Year's, he was around three other people who all tested positive for COVID, right? And are very sick now, like sick enough to stay home from work, not sick enough to be hospitalized. So my friend did not drink or have sugar around the holidays and is not sick, but they all are sharing the same virus. They all spent, the four adults spent the holiday together, the holiday weekend. So this is my point to you, which I say all the time, I know, is your immunity matters. The strength of your body matters. Are you spending time weakening yourself by not sleeping, eating processed foods, and drinking alcohol a lot and lowering your immunity? You will be more likely to suffer based on whatever is going around, be it COVID, the flu, whatever it is, chickenpox outbreak, whatever. Your own strength in your own body absolutely matters. I know that's anecdotal, but I think it makes a strong point.
Well, it's anecdotal, but it's also backed up by what we talked about with the Amish story a few weeks ago here on the show.
Right.
And the Amish population in Pennsylvania, specifically in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, near where I grew up. And the Amish report is that they did pretty darn well, right? They eat healthy.
Yeah.
They eat farmed food, right? They're not eating processed food. And they made a decision that we're going to act as a community, be close. We're going to deal with this as a community.
Yeah.
And they thrived during COVID as a result of that. And so they're eating healthy. They're not, you know, they're not lowering their overall immunity by eating all kinds of processed food and crappy things.
Do they drink at all?
I don't know. I don't know anything about.
Before they joined church.
Okay. I don't know anything about that. I'm just saying that the things that you do to make yourself stronger matter.
I mean, okay. I know that at church, at the Amish church, the individual was talking about that. He said we were all sharing the same wine glass during the service, you know, and so we all handed down. And he's like, we were literally COVID ran rampant through our community.
Okay,
they were saying instead of social distancing, like if somebody was sick, they all went to visit them at their house. They didn't stay away from the sick people.
Yeah, yeah,
and they did great.
I don't think we should say COVID doesn't hurt children, though. Like. Having the infection, I think we should say we're making a trade-off, right? Like, because children's hospitals are also filled with COVID patients, maybe children who have other health-related
Immunocompromised issues, of course, right. Absolutely.
So I just don't think I'm not comfortable with and that other specific that, statement. Yes. But you have to think about.
But my point, trade-off. My question is: Are we worried about the children specifically? When it comes to COVID, are we worried about the teachers who would get COVID as a result of a child carrying it and the child's fine and the teacher gets sick?
And in most cases, COVID for a child is like the Omicron variant for an adult. You know, it's like a cold. It's basically, I mean, for the most, and like I said, unless they have serious comorbidities, they're not ending up in the hospital. There's more ending up in the hospital from the other things.
Yes. My 5-year-old had Delta and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
So,
Brenda says there's another virus in France. Yes, Brenda, at the beginning of the show. Hopefully you were here at the beginning of the show, but we covered that in the news headlines today about the new variant in France. Okay. By the way, we start the show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time. That's when we do the show live, 9 a.m. Eastern time, covering the stories that you won't see covered in the mainstream media because they are bought and sold by billionaires and we are not.
Yeah. So we appreciate that, Brenda. You act like Brenda was late. It's okay if she's late.
I think Brenda was late.
Well, you don't have to be rude to Brenda.
Actually, I manage chat, and I do not allow people to be late except one day a week, and only if they have a note, and they know that.
Right. Yeah, so you got to be on time, guys.
From your mom, signed.
No, but Brenda, yes, we covered that in news headlines today about this new variant that they've discovered, this new COVID variant in the southeast of France. You know, we don't know much about it. It has 46 mutations. Yes, in southern France. So thank you, Brenda. I'm just kidding with you.
Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to move to what's trending. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. Do you want to get up to $7,000 of free stock right now? Of course you do. And I had one person wrote me overnight saying they were having trouble with the link. They were trying to sign up. And so I'm making sure I'm connecting you with their team just to make sure that everything is good there. But anyway, Moomoo is amazing. It's a stock trading app. It's an exchange. But you can also trade crypto and stocks on Moomoo. And right now they have a promotion. They're giving away $7,000 in free stocks right still in January. Plus they're giving away iPhones, iPhone 13s, and other things. Just for signing up and starting an account. And so you get free stocks just for signing up, and then you're entered into this additional contest where they're giving away thousands of additional dollars in free stocks and crypto. But what I love about it is it's a really easy to use application for trading. So whether it's day trading or whatever you're doing with it, it's really clean and easy. And it has free level 2 quotes. Now, I know if you don't know what level 2 quotes are, and it's very, very powerful for day trading because you can see what's happening as people are trading and when you should enter a trade and get out and make some really good money. Level 2 quotes are incredibly important for day trading. You need it. And so that's why Moomoo gives it away for free. And you're going to get up to $7,000. So try it right now. Just go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. That's right. M-O-O-M-O-O. And you have to use that link, morninginvest.com/Moomoo. That's our link. So they know you came from our show. So I appreciate their support of the show. All right. What is trending today?
Okay. Hashtag Betty White Challenge. Do you have that image?
Just a second. Yes.
There it is. Is trending because people are encouraging others to celebrate the late Betty White's birthday on January 17th by donating $5 to a local rescue or animal shelter. Betty White started working for the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals as early as the 1940s when she was 20 years old. So she didn't do it because it was cool. She was first to the movement, you guys. And Yeah, that's a cool thing to do.
I love that. I was doing some research when I was writing the newsletter this morning, and that stunned me that when she was in her 20s,
yeah,
she started working for like the stopping cruelty to animals in the 1940s.
Yes.
Like going back as early as that.
She's an OG, yeah. You guys.
Bless her.
Okay. Hashtag my resolutions in 6 words is trending because tonight show host Jimmy Fallon asked people to tweet their resolution in 6 words, and it's become kind of a funny
meme. Did you tweet one?
I did not. But I did share on Twitter recently that my goal last year was not to be a B-word to my family when I thought no one was helping with the chores. And I don't think I succeeded on that one, so I wrote it down right again for 2022.
No, she did not.
Are you talking
succeed.
About being a bear?
Don't be a B-word when no one's helping. I kept doing that.
Still got to work on that this year. Still got to.
Well, maybe you guys should help. Right. Do the chores.
You're failing again.
Okay, sorry.
So let us know in the chat. Yeah, use your 6 words. See if you guys can come up with 6 words. 6 words in the chat to describe your New Year's resolution.
But that doesn't. That's not. Don't be a B-word to your family when they're not helping. No. Or just in general, don't be a B-word.
Yeah, you should just cut out the helping as a family. Yeah. Part. Just say, just don't be a B-word.
If you guys just helped. Yeah, maybe I'm giving too much credit.
My rule, just don't be a dick, right? That's like we, in our store, if you go to morninginvest.com/store, we have our don't be a D mug. Like that's the rule for life, right? Just don't be a D.
You can just change it to don't be a B at home. And that's 6.
Don't be a B to family.
Business.
There you go.
But I can be a B to other people or exactly. Just maybe don't be a B. I don't know.
Justified.
Your Imperial Majesty says, I'm a B and I'm proud.
You know, there are some times when I'm like, I could have said that nicer. Like, you guys, why is this here?
Why did you think it was acceptable, you three children?
Like, I say this a lot to my family. Like, literally, I want you to tell me who you think you are. Because you did this, like leaving this here, or leaving this for mommy, or like, can you answer this? Who you think you are? There's no real
it's a very
answer
revealing.
That.
It's a very revealing question, and then the kid, you can just see the children, like all hope, just like drains from their face because they're like, "I was going upstairs to play, and mommy wondered why I left my plate on the table." And she's like, well, I want you to tell me who you
who
think
do you think you are? Like, what is the right answer to that? I don't know.
My son, he's like
Prince Andrew,
who I thought I was. I don't know. Everything sorry, I thought I knew about life is wrong, mommy. I'm sorry.
I know. Okay. School Trendings is closing because schools around the world have delayed reopening or moved to virtual due to Omicron. Yeah, we covered that one.
Yeah,
I think you might have said that wrong. You said school trendings are closing.
Oh, school closings are trending. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry. I wish that they weren't. Ivanka is trending because the New York State Attorney General's office has subpoenaed the Trump children, specifically Ivanka and Don Jr. This is related to the civil fraud investigation where the president has been accused of over-evaluating real estate properties for loans and then under-evaluating them on his taxes. Specifically, it's about this. This came out of the Michael Cohen cooperation. It has to do with how much they knew, how much they participated.
I'm sorry, I've been squishing and moving.
Yeah, why are you doing that?
Because I'm trying to get it like framed because it's like a full screen thing.
Can we just look
thing.
At how presidential Don Jr. looks?
Stop it.
No.
Stop it, please, right now. I will pull this car over right now.
I mean, they do kind of. I'm not going to opine about. I'm not going to. What the internet people are jubilant for those two having to answer for anything because they can have a narcissistic bend to them. That I don't want to get
what
in
kind of
over.
A person are you that you think you could say that about people on the internet?
Me? Yeah.
What do you say to our children?
Oh, I would like to know who you think you are.
I would like to know who you think you are.
Don't use that back on me.
Oh, you just said you weren't going to be. Oh, that was the family. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't being a beat about them. No, I'm saying that the general opinion of them online is usually not very favorable, and people want to see them.
They're like the Republican version of Hunter Biden.
I have to think about that.
Yeah.
That's like an SAT question. Is like
I think these people are more
Ivanka Trump is to media as X character is to media.
I think people know them better than Hunter Biden. I think more people know, I think, you know,
yes,
like in the Ben Shapiro circles, maybe Hunter Biden is popular, but like more people know who they are than Hunter Biden.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of question as to whether or not, you know, hey, can Trump even run? Liz Cheney's saying like she's going to do everything in her power to make sure that, you know, he doesn't run. So would Don Jr. run for president? Would he be the next Trump?
You know, there was some legislation that would make it so that anyone who runs for president has to release their tax returns. I support that. Like, let's just do that, right? And that will weed out any, you know,
illegal activity.
Ne'er-do-wells. I mean, not really.
Right.
No, that's an overly optimistic really thing that I just said.
You really thought this one
through. No. No.
Back to the drawing board for that one.
Okay. And finally, snowstorm is trending because of said deadly snowstorm in the mid-Atlantic and the southeast. And
here's a live look. This is a live look over Washington, D.C. The helicopter.
The potty bucket.
No, this is a helicopter going back to refuel right now because all of these people are still trapped on this highway. I mean, all up and down I-95, all of these people are still trapped in their cars.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there for 10, they've been overnight. They can't get out. And
I 100% agree with you that this is a perfect use of the National Guard. Yet where are they?
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Get the National Guard, get our military that we use to go and destroy and bomb other countries, right? Set up 900 military bases around the world. Why don't we use them at home to help our own people? You know, just an idea.
Yeah.
We spend $768 billion a year on it. Maybe we should use some of that back home.
Yeah, they can't just grab $10 million out of there and throw it towards this crisis.
They just gave themselves a raise in this calendar year. We got it.
Can't you?
The defense budget. How about we defend people from being stuck on roadways?
Can't you airdrop food and supplies to people?
Think about it. You're going to have people out there that got diabetes. You're going to have people out there that have kids that, like, where are they going to the bathroom? Like, this could be a major, major crisis.
People are pregnant. People are elderly. I mean, we're going to find out that what an absolute disaster this was in the next few days. We're going to see how many people died as a result of this.
Well, and think about all those cars got to be running. It's 26 degrees. And so you got to think of the fumes and stuff, like in people that have poor exhaust systems. I mean,
that's absolutely. Yes. Thing. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, we have a daily newsletter. We'd love for you all to subscribe. You know, actually, let me just say this. I know that many of you watch this show are not subscribed to the channel. YouTube shows us that 76% of you are watchers of this channel, watch our show every day and are actually not subscribed to the channel. So just hit that subscribe button.
Just do that. YouTube.
Just do it, please. It's free. You can subscribe to the channel. We do this show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern Time live. We cover the story. I would say we spend many hours working on the show every day to bring you a news show that's not controlled by the mainstream media, covering the stories that you will not see in the mainstream media largely, and contextualizing them in a way that I hope you find beneficial. So if we bring you any value at all, please hit that subscribe button. And you can turn on that little bell notification so when we go live at 9 a.m., you'll get a little notification that lets you know that we're live, and we'd love to have you join us here on the show every day. So there you go.
All right. We'll see you here tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks, everyone, for watching. Grover, my dog is barking. My feet. It's not that my feet are
Your
hurting.
Your literal just, dog is
my,
barking.
My literal dog is barking.
Yeah.
So I got to go check on this dog. Peace out, everyone.